Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Here we go with the Bob Hope Show. This is episode number 391, and it originally aired on October 26th, 1948. Here now is Bob Hope with his special guests, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Well, I swan.
Me too, so do I.
How about you?
Yes, it's the new Swan Show with our great singing star, Doris Day.
Well, I swan.
A new comedy team sensation, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Irene Ryan, the Four Hits and a Miss, and the new Les Brown Band.
We're Swan exclusively. How about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me? My name is Robert. You can break me in two, Hope.
And now, Bob Hope, Swan's Eye View of the News. Washington, D.C., radio's giveaway programs were under fire this week as the Federal Communications Commission hear arguments against banning them from the air.
Yeah, they'll give away anything nowadays. The other night, Fervor McGee had to buy back Molly from a guy in Pittsburgh. I can't understand why the government is cracking down on giveaways, though. After all, President Truman's been on the road 3 months now trying to give away... Of course, political speeches have been crowding the radio so much it's very confusing. At 10 o'clock yesterday, Portia was facing life wearing Truman's glasses and Dewey's mustache. The Republicans have been accused of overconfidence. I understand Dewey just placed an order with I.J. Fox for a mink mustache. And Earl Warren keeps going into Washington bars and yelling, orange juice for everybody. In fact, one night last week, they caught Earl Warren trying to squeeze a grapefruit on the Capitol Dome.
Los Angeles, California, the yearly convention of the American Congress of Surgeons, met here this week to evaluate the progress of medical science during the past year.
7,500 doctors, that's a lot of Camel cigarettes. One of the surgeons met an old patient of his in the hotel lobby. It was a touching scene as the MD ran over, clapped the fellow on the back, and exclaimed, "Well, well, long time no saw." See, there were surgeons. The bellhops aren't too enthusiastic about this convention. One of them carried a doctor's suitcase upstairs, held out his hand, and before he knew what had happened, he had his pulse taken, a mole removed, and donated 3 quarts of blood to the Red Cross. A Swedish doctor caused a sensation at the convention by demonstrating a mechanical heart run by electricity. Can you imagine the future? A man with a mechanical heart getting a letter from the electric company that says, "Unless you pay your bill, we'll have to cut your heart off." And the new scientific instruments they have now are unbelievable. They got microscopes that are so powerful, you can not only see the microbes, but you can actually hear them. I looked into it, and there were 5 germs marching up and down and singing, "Good health to all" from Rexall. And the druggists are all excited about a new remedy called Voom-a-Seltzer. It has 1,000 times more fizz than Alka-Seltzer. You just put a tablet in a glass, pour water on it, then run outside and drink it as it comes out the window. Hey, hi, what's this? Somebody parking their car right in the studio?
Oh, relax, Bob. This isn't a real car. It was just a sound effect to remind everybody about Lever Brothers' big new contest. Listen.
Well, it sounds like an interesting contest. What do you do, mail in the top of a pedestrian?
No, Bob, no. All you have to do is mail in a wrapper from a cake of Swan, and you have a chance to win a new 1949 Mercury. And tonight, we have the first winners. To Mrs. Catherine Kelly of 2115 Freemansburg Avenue, Eaton, Pennsylvania.
A new 1949 Mercury.
To Miss Harriet D. Young of Lexington, Kentucky.
A new 1949 Mercury.
To Mrs. T.W. Lyons of Atlanta, Georgia.
A new 1949 Mercury.
To Cecil Earl Williams, Hospital Corps, United States Naval Air Station, Key West, Florida.
A new 1949 Mercury.
Congratulations, winners. And remember, folks, there's still plenty of time to enter. Lever Brothers is giving away a Mercury a day every day until November 19th.
That's right, a Mercury a day plus $1,000 in cash awards daily. There's a new contest every day except Saturday and Sunday, and you can enter as often as you please.
All residents of the continental United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, are eligible.
Just be sure to follow the complete rules printed on free entry blanks at your store.
Here's all you do. Finish the following statement, "I like Swan soap because," in 25 words or less. Then send a Swan soap wrapper together with your name and address to Lever's Mercury a Day Contest, Post Office Box 3, New York 8, New York.
Well, I swan.
A Mercury a Day.
Gee whiz, that's right.
By cracky. Yeah.
Here's the beautiful Doris Day and the Four Hits and the Miss with their treatment of Hair of Gold. Doris, front and center.
He came down from Butte, Montana, for a little change of scene. And he stopped a day in Santa Fe, where he met a pretty queen. Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine. The prettiest gal he ever knew, and he said, "I'll make her mine." Now he planned to leave on Monday, but she held him kind of tight. So he held the ground and hung around, and he left on Friday night.
Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine.
The prettiest gal he ever knew, and he said, "I'll make her mine." He was kind of blue and lonely, so he took his horse and pack, and on Sunday morn was up and gone, heading south and riding back.
Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine.
The prettiest gal he ever knew, and he said, "I'll make her mine." At the gate he found her waiting. He was happy as could be. Then he told her that he loved her true, and she said, "That goes for me."
Oh, hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine.
The prettiest gal he ever knew, and he said, "I'll make her mine."
And Miss Doris Day, ladies and gentlemen. That was wonderful. You really did a great job on that song, Doris. You know, I was thinking about those musicals you make over at Warner Brothers. It's too bad they haven't got a good-looking fella to sing with you.
But, Bob, I just finished a picture with Dennis Morgan.
Dennis Morgan? You mean Jack Carson's mother? The kind of a fella you need in those pictures should be handsome and magnetic, and he should have a voice somewhere in between Perry Como and Andy Russell.
Oh, I know, Bob, but a fella as perfect as that is too much to hope for.
Well, that's what my parents thought, but it happened.
You mean?
Yes, I have so much more than Gregory. Why should I fight it?
Oh, Bob. Bob. I would love to be in a picture with you. Oh, and that reminds me. My dramatic coach, Miss Ryan, wants me to thank you for taking her on that tour through Paramount Studios.
Well, I was glad to do it, Doris. And it was easy to arrange because I'm the most important actor over there, you know.
Well, now, that's very odd. They told Miss Ryan that the most important actor was Alan Ladd.
Paramount said that?
Yes.
Well, I'll get even with them. Just wait till the next time they want me to Simonize Sabu's elephant.
Come on, Bob. You know you love working over at Paramount.
Oh, I don't know. Pictures are all right, but they're so make-believe. It's a shame the way they fool the public.
How?
Well, for instance, everybody thinks Gary Cooper's a tall man. That's because they always give him something to stand on before they shoot a scene.
Well, he certainly does look tall in pictures. What does he stand on?
Crosby. And that's quite a lump, you know. Humphrey Bogart. There's another fake.
Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah, you know what a rough mug he's supposed to be. You see him in a picture and he says, "Stick him up your hand, you rat, or I'll drill you. I'm the toughest guy in town."
Well, isn't he tough?
Doris, Loren Bacall told me that when he comes home at night, she has to rub him with alcohol before he can mash the potatoes.
Bob, Bob, you're making this whole thing up.
I am not. Wait till I tell you about Charles Boyer.
Now, there's nothing wrong with Charles Boyer.
Oh, no? You know how he got his lower lip to hang down like that, don't you? When he goes to bed at night, he buttons it to his pajamas.
Here comes Miss Ryan now.
Yeah, now, for heaven's sakes, Doris, don't ask her about her ailments or we'll be here all night.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Well, I'm improving.
Oh, really?
Yesterday, I felt lousy. But today, I had a good day.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel kind of rotten.
What's the matter, Miss Ryan?
Well, I haven't been able to sleep for the last 3 nights. It's so cold here in California in the evening.
But I thought you bought an electric blanket.
Yes, but those things are kind of tricky. When I first got it, I turned the heat up too high, and all night long I kept dreaming I was a fried egg.
Well, didn't you roll over? Why didn't you roll over?
Oh, I couldn't. I always sleep sunny side up. I'm cheerful. When I get up in the morning, I smile through my agony and I say, I just hope I live through this day.
And do you? You know, Doris was telling me...
Sometimes I wonder whatever happened to my vitality.
Oh, it must be crawling around someplace. Doris was saying...
Just... Oh, I'm serious, really. I used to be a real live wire.
Well, those fuses don't last forever, you know.
Miss Ryan, I was telling Bob how much you enjoyed your tour through Paramount.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hope. And I know it sounds kind of silly, but I sort of fell in love with one of those young, good-looking leading men over there.
Ray Milland?
No. Barry Fitzgerald. He's got such pretty blue eyes. Every time he looked at me, I could feel the corners curl on my mustard plaster.
Well, did you get acquainted with Barry Fitzgerald?
Well, I tried to. I wanted him to know that I'd seen him in pictures. So I walked up and said, going my way? And he said, yes, eventually, but I have to take 2 more harp lessons.
Well, the next time I see Barry, I'll put in a good word for you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hope. But, say, do you think that he'd like me any better if I dressed real girlish? You know, with a peasant blouse or a sweater?
Miss Ryan, aren't you trying to flag down the super chief with a burnt match?
Well, so long, everybody. Tonight, the Medical Association is putting on a radio quiz program. I want to be there because they're giving away a free autopsy. Goodbye.
Yes, sir. There she goes. She'll probably spend Halloween bobbing for aspirin. By the way, Doris, what are you doing Halloween?
Well, I have a date with High Everman. Hey, look, here he comes now, and he's wearing a yachting cap.
Ahoy there, you landlubbers. Lower your gangplank. I'm coming alongside.
Well, if it isn't the Moby Dick of the kitchen sink.
Hey, you look like you've been out sailing, High.
Well, a man like me can't resist the call of the open sea. I spent the weekend at Malibu. I love those trade winds blowing through my hair and the refreshing salt spray on my face.
Do you have your own yacht at Malibu?
No, he's receptionist down there on a live bait barge. He gets $12 a week and all the fish heads he can smuggle out in his pants cuffs.
Oh, gee, High, it must take a lot of courage to go out in the ocean.
Well, you see, Dora, sailing is in my blood. My great-grandfather was a sea dog. My father was an old sea dog. And then came me.
Well, the luck couldn't hold out forever. A water spaniel had to get in there someplace.
Don't pay any attention to him, High. Say, tell me about some of your seagoing ancestors.
Well, Doris, my great-great-grandfather was a famous old pirate.
Honestly?
Yes, old cutthroat Averback. Why, they still talk about the time Captain Kidd and his bloodthirsty crew attacked my great-great-grandfather and boarded his ship.
Well, box my compass.
There was Captain Kidd and my great-great-grandfather. Yes, sir. There they were, Doris.
It was there, and I delivered it. Okay, take it, Captain.
Like I've been saying, Captain Kidd and my great-great-grandfather were there in a hand-to-hand saber duel. Finally, Captain Averback dropped his weapon, and he was at Captain Kidd's mercy. He had to show him where the treasure chest was.
No.
The pirates opened it. They threw the diamonds and rubies into the sea.
Uh-huh.
And then at the bottom of the chest, they found what they were looking for.
What?
A cake of swan soap.
He had to go around Cape Horn to get it, but there it is.
Yes, Swan is that new, better floating soap made by a modern patented process no other soap can use. It's better for dishes because Swan gives faster, harder working suds. Suds that rinse away so completely, dishes don't need wiping. And as Captain Averback was struggling there in the water, whipping up those rich, creamy suds, suddenly, from out of the mist, there appeared a life raft with two men on it.
What were the Lever brothers doing out there?
Captain Averback's rescuers reached out and pulled him onto the raft by his soft, white hands. Soft because he used Swan. Naturally, Swan is better for hands. Mild as the finest Castiles, with richer suds that protect your hands. Yes, Swan's exclusive process makes it better for dishes and hands. For baby, for bath, for you. So break Swan. See how you get two smooth cakes that are never rough or crumbly. It's another way to prove Swan is a better white floating soap.
Well, shiver my soap dish, I Swan.
Me too.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Bye, Cracky.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight our guest stars are those sensational young comics, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. But there's a story connected with how they got on our show. The other night, I went over to Slapsy Maxie's to see Martin and Lewis about coming on the show. And as I walked into the club, they were in the middle of the act. Dean Martin was singing.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm.
Ladies and gentlemen, well, that about winds up our show, and I'm pretty sure my partner, Jerry Lewis, would like to say a few things. Huh?
Thanks very much. I'm awfully glad you called on me, and because you let me be out here with you like this, I appreciate it.
You what?
I said, by you calling me like this, I appreciate it.
Why do you keep the words up in the air? Let it come down. There's a period there. You would say, I'm going to the corner, not I'm going to the corner.
Oh, you talk your way. I talk that way because, listen.
Oh, Well, stop being foolish and say goodnight to the people.
In a nice way, huh?
Yes.
You folks have been very nice to us, and I would like to say that we appreciate the way you received our work, and I'd like to say, as far as an audience is concerned, you folks have really been without a doubt.
Boy, it's really a relief to be back in the dressing room.
Yeah, I'm beat.
We really worked hard tonight, didn't we, Jerry?
With that audience, we had to. What was it with those people? We're doing our act and they're reading. They just sit there eating and eating and eating. You know, Dean, it made me stop and think.
What about?
I'm hungry.
Listen, Jerry, did you see that guy sitting in the front row with that big funny nose?
That's a nose.
That was his nose.
I thought it was his date. No wonder she had two holes in her head.
Yeah, that nose was a real brute. Did you see the waiter come over and ask the nose if it was ready to order dinner?
I wonder who this schmo is. Did you get a load of that funny outfit he was wearing? Top hat, white tie, and bare feet?
Yeah, and he really was tipping. He was throwing bars of soap around like a drunken laundryman. You know something, Jared? There was something familiar about that guy. I've seen him before.
You have?
Yeah, wait a minute. His name is
Bob Montgomery?
No.
Bob Taylor?
No, but you're getting warm.
Bob Rustanwyck?
No.
Babaloo?
Jerry.
Babaloo, I ain't. Babaloo, I ain't. Babaloo, Babaloo.
Jerry Lewis.
That's who it is, Jerry Lewis. No. How could it be me? How could I be on the stage and in the audience at the same time?
Oh, Jerry, please.
I remember now. It was a hot summer day in New York. I had just come out of the doctor's office. The doctor had just told me the news. I had only 70 years to live. I had to cram a whole lifetime into only 70 years. I thought of all the wonderful things I wanted to do. Paris, Rome, London.
Get a haircut.
Easy. Your head's coming loose again. Sheriff, I just remembered who that guy in the front is. Hey, there's somebody knocking on the door.
Oh, there's a clever deduction.
Will you please go to the door, Jerry?
Okay, I will. Promise to write me while I'm gone?
Yes, every day.
Well, that'll be sterling.
Bye.
Bye. Who's there, boy or girl?
Bob Hope.
Answer the question. Well?
Hi, I'm Bob Hope, and I,
Beat it, kid. No autographs.
Now, wait a minute, Jerry. Come right in, Bob. I'm Dean Martin. This is my partner, Jerry Lewis. Jerry, Bob Hope.
Bob Hope? Big deal. You can't just barge in here, bud. We're not bums, you know. Didn't you see the sign on our dressing room door?
Sure, it said gentlemen.
Well, we insisted on that. We like a lot of wash basins.
Well, yeah. You know, I just caught your act, fellas, and I thought you were great. Say, Dean, you know when you sing, you sound just like Crosby?
Well, I've been sick.
Ding, ding, can sing, huh? I can sing better than that with both adenoids tying behind my back.
Please, boy, who'd you ever sing with?
Who'd I ever sing with? Are you for real?
He's asking me. Go ahead, quick frozen. Reed, go ahead. Tell me, who'd you ever sing with?
Well, Kate Smith, just to name a few. Just get a load of some of this singing, will you, hey?
Rising with the moon, high up on the midnight blue.
Sounds like this kid was frightened by the Andrews sisters. One at a time.
Hey, what kind of crack is that to make? What are you, a wise guy or something? I'd punch you right in the nose if I wasn't afraid your nose would punch me back.
Look, don't take it out on me, Pumpkinhead, just because your hair got singed when they put the candle in. Now, look, fellas, as I was saying, I thought your act was really fine. I was wondering if you'd like to do a guest appearance on my show.
What do we need with radio? We have everything two good-looking young American boys could ask for. Lights, music, caviar, champagne, sen-sen.
I love life and I want to live.
Hey, Dean, light me another cigarette. I swallowed the last one.
You know, Gary's got a point there, Bob. We're doing pretty well in nightclubs, and besides, we're a little bit afraid of radio.
Oh, there's no reason to be afraid of radio. Look at Al Jolson. He'd never have his own radio program today. He'd still be working in a nightclub if he hadn't taken the advices of his friend Abe.
Abe Lassfogle?
No, Abe Lincoln. Fellas, I tell you... I tell you, you can't miss on the air.
Well, I'm sold, Bob. How about you, Jerry?
No, I will not go on the air. And if you try to force me, I'll throw myself down on the ground and kick. And if you want to go on the radio, you can go on by yourself, Dean Martin. All right for you, so there, too.
Oh, what's the matter with you, Jerry? Everything I say to you goes in one hole in your head and out the other.
Look, Jerry, why don't you forget about being a comedian? Get married and have a few kids. Don't wait until it's too late like your father did. Say, Dean, why don't we go off by ourselves where we can P-A-L-K without the K-I-D?
Well, he's pretty hard to L-O-S-E, but we can P-R-Y.
Hey, you guys, cut that out. I know what you're doing.
What?
You're spelling. I don't care what you say. I'm not going on a radio. I hate the radio, and if you make me go on a radio, I'll swallow my skate feet.
Well, we pay our guest stars $5,000 for a guest shot, and if you guys work out, you can come back for five more shots.
And I want mine with soda. I put one over on him, didn't I? Was not a fun... Ain't I the shifty one?
So it's all set, Jerry. We'll do the Hope Show.
Yeah, we'll do the Hope Show.
Oh, swell. Well, I'll see you Tuesday, then.
Sure, why not? We'll send you the ticket.
Don't mind him, Bob. When we were kids, we were playing jacks one day, and the car fell down on his head.
Have you guys got any material you can do on the radio?
Well, we've got a song that we sang once before with a girl, but you could take her part.
Oh, fine. Is it a good part?
Is it a good part? Here's the music. Just come in every place that says Hildegard.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked
before.
One leaf is sunshine, the second is rain. Blurred is the roses that grow in the
lane.
No need explaining, the one remaining is somebody I adore.
I said I adore, I mean adore, really mean.
This kid sounds like Jeanette McDonald with a half Nelson on Eddie's.
Did you hear what he said, Dean? Hold me back. Hold me back.
Why should I hold you back?
It itches.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before.
There goes our Hooper
that I overlooked before.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, is my hair fairest of them all?
It is when you use Rave Cream Shampoo. Rave leaves your hair so clean, so soft, so easy to manage. Easy to manage because the pure lanolin in Rave is specially blended with other ingredients to make hair behave, even on shampoo day. Try Rave Cream Shampoo, now sold at new low prices. R-A-Y-V-E. Rave Cream Shampoo.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Normally, I would do a mini biography on the guest star, but since our two guest stars were a team for 10 years at least, I'm going to talk about Martin and Lewis as a team, and then there will be other broadcasts, I am sure, where we will talk about each of them individually. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis met in 1945 and began their act on July 25th, 1946. Dean had been a nightclub singer and Jerry a comedian who did lip syncing to hit songs that he played off of records. And you can imagine how corny he would be doing that. When they got together and started simply having fun together, on stage, magic happened. Their antics captivated crowds, and there truly was something magical between the two of them. As Dean sang, Jerry just was crazy as he did so well. And just the interaction of the two of them together. They debuted at the 500 Club in Atlantic City and eventually headlined at New York's Copacabana. The Martin and Lewis show ran for 5 years on NBC Radio from 1948 to 1953. So it's kind of funny that Jerry Lewis was talking about being afraid of the radio because they were on it for 5 years. And of course, numerous guest appearances on a lot of shows. And then they jumped to television in 1949, so very early. And during the first 5 years of the 1950s, they were regulars on NBC's Colgate Comedy Hour on television. They made 16 movies together, and they really were the hottest act in America in the first half of the 1950s. The two movies that they made that are just my two favorites are The Caddy and The Stooge. Very simple names, but simply hilarious performances, great singing, good stories. There, really, if you have not seen Martin and Lewis in either The Caddy or The Stooge, I'm sure you can rent them from, you know, Amazon.com or a lot of streaming services probably have them. But I went ahead and purchased an entire DVD set of all of the Martin and Lewis movies just because they are so funny together. Well, after a while, Dean Martin's singing began to take a backseat to Lewis's antics, and Dean Martin kind of got tired of the bad press and of taking the backseats, playing second fiddle to Jerry Lewis, and they split up. Actually, they split up 10 years to the day of their very first performance together. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis went on to spectacular solo careers on their own. Jerry Lewis worked for the Muscular Dystrophy Association up until his death. Every year, the Labor Day telethon, I know how that was just... It was on. That was what it was on Labor Day. Every Labor Day, the Jerry Lewis telethon. But Jerry Lewis wrote a book called Dean and Me, and it is a great story of their 10 years together as an act. And in it, Jerry just talks about how much he really loved Dean Martin and all of Dean's talents, of course, his singing, but also his comedic talents, which Jerry greatly applauds and talks up. Great book. If you are looking for a biography of some type to read, Dean and Me by Jerry Lewis is a great book. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Wednesday for another episode of The Bob Hope Show, and check in on Friday for the next installment of The Life of Riley. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com. Click on the Become a Patron button to support our show on an ongoing basis, or click on the Donate button to use PayPal and support our show on a single-time basis. However you support our show, it is much needed, and we thank you for keeping us on the air. Until we meet again, in the words of Andy Rooney, the average dog is a nicer person than the average person.